Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go to John chapter 10 tonight. John chapter 10. Let's try this again. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to, a few weeks ago, back in August, which is not been that long ago. It's September now, but anyway, it just seems like it all flies together now. So the Lord dealt with me to talk about the subject of discouragement, and we actually talked about shaking it off. And tonight, I just feel like I need to talk about it again. So evidently, we need not the same message, but the same subject. You know, I call that shaking off discouragement. Tonight, I want to talk about an attack of discouragement. I don't know if you ever had one before or not, but I don't recommend them. But they come, amen? I said amen? All right, let's go to John chapter 10, and we'll spend some time here in this and talk about this. John chapter 10, about an attack of discouragement. Sometimes they just come out of nowhere, and I want to talk to you about that tonight. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Well, that's what he's about. "I am come that you might have life." That's what he came for, that we might have life, not that we might, you know, he might establish a new religion, but, you know, he came that we'd have life. Yeah, amen. And there's a comma, that you might have it more abundantly. So he's not just talking about life, he's talking about life, and then you cross the comma, and you get more abundant life. See, a lot of believers never cross the comma. They get the life. You know, you get life when you get born again. How many know that? Actually, you get the life of God. You know, that's what the Bible says. It calls it, you know, there's a Greek word. It calls it, it's called Zoe, Z-O-E. And it's literally, you have to look it up. And when you do a little word study on it, you find out that word Zoe, life, it means life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it. And W. Vines says something like this: life which the Father has in himself, which he gave to the Son to have in himself, which the Son gave to us. So it's not in other words, the Bible's letting us know this kind of life is a supernatural life. Hallelujah. It's Zoe life. And so that's what Jesus come to give us, but then You got to cross the comma there, and that you might have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have an abundant life. Are you with me now? But one of the things that the devil does is to try to rob us of abundant life is discouragement. Try to get you to give up. See, he understands, you know, he understands how, you know, if you get, you know, the Bible talks about, let me just say this. The Bible says, "Taste and see the Lord's good." You know, when you really see and taste how good the Lord is, then you understand there's some really good eating and good living in the kingdom. Amen? Now, I'm like you. I've been on both sides of the fence, you know, and I tell you what, this is a lot better over here. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? I like eating out of this pasture a whole lot better than I did the world's. Are you with me now? Amen. And so there's life, amen? There's life, and then there's life more abundantly. And God wants us to cross over and get into the abundant life. But one of the tricks of the devil is to just, you know, to just bring attacks of discouragement to try to keep you out of that. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I want to look at a few scriptures tonight, just a handful. But let's go to Numbers chapter 21, and I want to read a passage there. Because, you know, one of the things I wanted you to do, and we'll see tonight, is that discouragement is an attack. It's an attack. Now the devil tries to camouflage it and make it look like it's circumstances. I don't know if you got that or not, but everybody has circumstances. Everybody does. And so he will point out certain things that aren't right in your life and magnify it. Maybe you're not married, you want to be married. Maybe you're married and you don't want to be married. I hope that's not the case, but there are people like that, right? Hopefully not here tonight. But you know what I'm saying. See, maybe you this or that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's people that are trying to lose weight. There are people that are trying to put on weight. I'd like to be in the category that's trying to put it on. How about you? But, I'm not there. And so, the devil could point that out. He can point things out. But the truth of the matter is he doesn't want you to know that it's him. Because he doesn't want you to know that if you get one thing fixed, if you would happen to get that thing fixed, there'd be another thing. Right. Amen. I'm just talking about me. If it were just me, if Phyllis, the rapture happened and she got to go and I didn't. And if I didn't make it, I know Brother Greg wouldn't make it. And I'm teasing him. What I'm about to say is if it were just me, I'd be fine living in a place, like a condo or something like that where you don't do anything to it. You don't mow the yard. You don't shovel snow. You don't do anything. You just live there. You know what I'm saying? Now, she doesn't like that, so we don't live that way, all right? You know what I'm saying? So we kind of, but that's just me. I don't want anything because there's always, how many know there's always something to do? I mean, I mowed the yard Saturday, and now I look out and he's mowed today, and it's Wednesday. Always something to do. If you could just mow it once and never have to do it again, then I'd be fine with it. But there's always something to fix. There's always, and I don't live in an old house. My house is not very old. It's, I don't know, it's maybe 5 years old. And so, but there's just still always something to do. Well, life is that way. Life's a life of maintenance. In other words, there's always going to be things that need to be fixed. And so the devil will take those things and magnify those things and make you think that's why you're discouraged. Are you hearing me now? See, a lot of people think, well, if I just, would just inherit like $3 million, I'd just be happy as could be just for a while. Because if money was the fix, why are people with a lot of money taking their life? See, the thing of it is you got to understand it's an attack. Amen. All right, now go to Numbers 21. Did you find that? Verse 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor or however you say that. I don't know, but anyway, by the way of the Red Sea to compass, to go around the land of Eden. That's what that means." And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. That's the King James. Because of the way, you could say in the way, because that because of the way is just one word. Sometimes you see, you may think there's four Hebrew words there, but there's just one word there. And so the King James says because of the way, or you could say in the way or on the way. But what I wanted you to see was, They're on the way that God sent them on. See, they're not discouraged because they're out of the will of God. They're not discouraged because they're not in the way. Now, you get out of the will of God, you can get discouraged. Amen. You get out of His plan, you get out of His will, you can get discouraged. But these people are in the plan of God. They're in the way, they're on the way where God sent them. They're right in the middle of it, but yet they're discouraged. And verse 5 says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses." One thing you got to learn when you're discouraged, you got to keep your mouth shut because you'll say something. you shouldn't say. Amen. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, how many know he didn't bring them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into blessing. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Talking about the manna. Now, that's pretty bad when God rains manna down from heaven and you're complaining about it. But you know people do that, the things of God. Amen. There's people complain about, you know, their church. But they ought to be thankful that they get to go. Amen. You know, this isn't right and that ain't right. Well, listen, the day that it was perfect till you got here. Well, that went over big, didn't it? See, I didn't call any names. I said you. That's all of us, including me. See, if we all stayed away and just left God here by himself, we'd have a perfect church. But any time he invites people in, you know, he invites imperfection in, right? Are you with me now? So, you know, the great thing about God is he's perfect, but the bad thing is all of his kids aren't. Amen. And so, you know what I'm saying? These people had manna from heaven. Now, how many? I mean, I don't know what I'd give to have a little bit of manna in a jar right now that God rained down. But and even you know the King James calls it light. The word's insubstantial. That's what one of the meanings of that word is. The New King James says worthless. Could you imagine calling something God gave you worthless? That's discouragement. Amen, but people can get that discouraged. But what I wanted you to see, God brought them out. He brought them out to bring them into the promised land. He didn't bring them out to die in the wilderness, see. But what happened was, see, you can be right in the middle of the way that God has for you. You can be right in the middle of his will, and discouragement still comes. It still tries to attack you. Amen. But what was the discouragement about? Well, it was an attack to try to drive them back into Egypt and to live on less than what God provided for them. And discouragement will drive you, if you know what I mean, spiritually speaking, right back into Egypt, and you'll live with less than what God wanted you to have. I don't want to live with less than what God wants me to have. Amen. Now, all right, go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go there, Ephesians chapter 6. And I don't know, you know, we'll just see. I may not go long tonight, we'll just see. But I do have a few things that I want to share with you about this because I want you to see something about this out of the Word. Ephesians chapter 6, go there. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read a couple verses here. Let's go to verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places." So see, we're not wrestling with people. We're not wrestling with the church down the street. We're wrestling with principalities and powers. Now, what is that saying? Well, that's who we have to contend with. See, these attacks of discouragement, they come from the outside. You have to separate you from that. So you can think, what's wrong with me? Well, it's not what's wrong with you. It's what's coming against you. And if you don't get that right, you'll always be trying to fix your problems to fix your life. And you're wrestling with flesh and blood. You got to see it as the devil. Amen. Because if you're a born again child of the living God, filled with the Holy Ghost, you got something to shout about. If you're saved and going to heaven, you got something to shout about. Amen. I didn't say everything was perfect. I just said you got something to shout about. All right. And so, you know, it's like what's the worst can happen to a child of God? Die and go to heaven. Wouldn't that be awful? See, physical death is the worst thing. The Bible calls it the last enemy. That's as far as the devil can go with you. If he were to kill you, that's all he can do. If you're a Christian, I'm talking about. See, if you're a believer, that's as far as he could go. Well, you know what? Listen, all that would do is get you in heaven. So even there, you got victory. Amen. Now he can't. You know, I don't believe the devil could just kill us. I don't believe he could just do things to us. I don't believe that. Are you with me now? I believe he tests us. I believe there's times that we experience tests and trials, but he just doesn't have a free run to do anything he wants because we have authority over him. That doesn't mean we're exempt from attacks. The Bible wouldn't tell us to put on the armor of God against the evil day, right? He wouldn't tell us these things if there weren't going to be any attacks. But what it's saying to us is we can come out victorious out in every attack, every adversity, see? That's what it means. And so we have to understand, if you don't get this, see, this will really hurt you. You got to separate what you and what's going on in your life, the circumstances from the attack from the outside, see? That's the devil trying to discourage you. Amen. You know, the Bible calls, I like the King James here because the Bible, the King James talks about the Holy Spirit calls him the Comforter. Now, there's a lot of meanings to that word. You could translate that word different ways. It means a consoler. When you look at it in the Greek, paraclete means a consoler. New King James says helper, which that's involved in all that. But the comforter, because really when you check that word out, and I've talked to you about this before, but it bears repetition. That word holy for the Holy Spirit in the Greek actually means to speak cheerfully to. It means he's there to cheer you up. So if the Holy Spirit it lives inside of you, there's cheer on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You know. You just got to separate that. This is an outside attack. Now look at the verse 18. We looked at these scriptures last time we talked about discouragement, but I wanted to look at them again tonight. Verse 18 says, it tells us as the church, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he tells us, pray always. That's pretty often, isn't it? I mean, every opportunity, you could say, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. And there's a lot of argument, about what it means to pray in the Spirit. Well, one thing I know it means is praying in tongues. Because the Bible says when we speak in tongues, the Spirit gives us utterance. So you can argue that you can pray in the Spirit in English, and I'm not there to argue about that. I do know this, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. Amen. And he said, notice watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What does that mean? We ought to be watching out for one another. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that I call you every day and check you up today, you down today? No, that's not what that means. But what happens is the Holy Spirit will alert you. And you got to be sensitive to that. If all you have, and it's easy to do, and all you have is you on your mind, all you think about you, then the Holy Spirit has a hard time just bringing somebody to your mind to pray for. You know, whether you believe it or not, I don't care who you are, whether you're a general in this army or whether you're a private in this army. Everybody faces attacks of discouragement. Everybody. And, you know, I've had my share of them myself. You know, I don't go around talking about it. I don't go around, with a sad face. You know, I don't do that. But I've had my own share of them. All right. You know, people sometimes. I mean, there's times. You know, Phyllis lives with me. There's times she can tell. And there's times I can tell when she's under attack. You know, but we don't go around gloom and doom. I think you see that. I think you do. I think you see that we don't change from day to day. And one day we're up, next day we're down. One day we decide to serve God, next day we decide to, live out in the world a little bit. No, we don't do that. We just stay the same because God doesn't change. But yet, I was going through one of those times where the devil was, attacking me. And it was pretty heavy, it was pretty bad. And then, but before the day was over, it was all gone. And I was talking to the Lord. about it. And he said, well, he said, I spoke to somebody to pray for you. I said, well, thank you. You can do that anytime you want to. You see, sometimes we need a little help. How many know that? See, we need a little help. And that's why it's so good. See, people that don't have a home church, they're just not getting where they need to be. They can say what they want to, but they're not, because it's impossible. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established, and that I may be comforted by the mutual faith both of me and you. He also said to Hebrew, the church in Hebrews, he said that, you know, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the day approaching. He said, so much the more as we see the day approaching. But the sad thing that we're seeing in the church is not just our church, maybe not every church, but most churches. We're seeing less gathering as we get closer instead of more. And it's very concerning because of this, because I realize the devil can take those people out if they're not careful. They're not watchful. Because if this is the house of God, and if, you know, the pastor is the messenger of God, then God's bringing you a message every service. Amen. You know, that doesn't mean you can't ever miss, but people, that they're out of the habit. And there's a real danger there that you might not make it through the last days. I love what Dr. Barclay told a person in his church. He's a little blunter than I am, but he was a Marine. So, but he had a guy in his church, you know, Dr. Barclay, like most of us, believes that there's a rapture coming, and it's coming before the tribulation period. Amen, I believe that. All right, but there are some in the church that believe we're going midway. And there are some that believe we're going at the end. Now, that's always been the dumbest one. I never figured out why God would take us up and bring us right back down. Why not just leave us here? We'll just meet you down here. Why would we go up there and come right back down? That's the dumbest one. But anyway, there are people who believe that. No offense. If you believe that, that's fine. I just don't see it in the Scripture. I see the first one where we're going on before the tribulation period. But Dr. Barclay had a guy in his church. He said to him one time, he said, I believe we're going through the tribulation, Pastor. Dr. Barclay said, you're not. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? He said, you can't make it now. You sure won't make it when during the tribulation period. Can't you make it to church now? Think you're going to make it during the tribulation period? See, a lot of people are fooling themselves. They're fooling themselves. They think they're okay. But Paul said, if you think you stand, you better take heed lest you fall. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, they haven't had the test yet that's going to pull them down, but it'll come. If they don't, and if they're not strong, they're going down. It's like John Osteen. How many remember John Osteen? That was Dr. Barclay's pastor. And he said one time after a service, they were preaching. They had a meeting, and Brother Osteen preached. And after the service, they were in the hotel, going up in the hallway to the rooms, to their rooms, you know. And this guy caught them in the hallway, and he said, "Can I speak with you?" Wanted to speak with Brother Osteen, and Brother Osteen said, "Sure." And he said, "Well, now you preach on tithing, huh?" "Yeah, Brother Osteen, I'm guilty." He said, "And you know, you talk about, you know, how you'll be blessed." "Well, I'm guilty." He said, "Well, I want you to know I'm a rich man and I don't tithe." I like what Brother Osteen, the pastor said that Brother Osteen put his hand on his shoulder, the guy's shoulder, and pat him. He said, "Just wait till the weasel hits the chicken coop. Just wait till trouble comes and then you'll wish you'd obeyed God." Yeah. Amen. That's when it happens. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, go there. Come on, you getting anything tonight? I'm just a couple things more scriptures we want to look at after this, maybe. Ephesians 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So we're supposed to be building one another up. Amen. You know, you don't just beat people up because they're not there yet. You love on them. Amen. Now, you know, that doesn't mean we don't, you know, sometimes you don't have to correct people. You do. As a pastor, you have to correct people. But you don't beat them up. Amen. You don't beat them up. I mean, you know, you may have to correct them, but you don't beat them up to do it, you know. You just give them the truth in love. Amen. And so, you know, but you still give them the truth. Right? I mean, when it's your place to do it. You know, it's not always my place. You know, people sometimes think it's your job to correct everybody. No, we're not the correctors of everybody. God puts people in our life that we're responsible for and so forth. Are you with me? I remember years ago, Phyllis, remember that. We were with a couple and this other evangelist couple, and his wife came, and they were talking about some guy that was, you know, some minister that wasn't preaching things right. You know, I don't know what he was preaching, but he wasn't preaching things right. And so they all talking, this couple we were with and this evangelist man and his wife, and said, let's go over to their house right now and let's correct him. I said, I'm not going. I don't even know him. It isn't any of my business what he's doing. See, he's not my business. I don't know him. Matter of fact, I don't even know if he was preaching what they said he was preaching. I never heard him preach. And it probably wasn't their job to go correct him either. But God's got people. Are you with me now? Amen. All right, now. So we're to build one another up. Amen. We're to edify one another in love. Amen. And encourage people. Amen. Don't say, you know, I noticed you missed the last three services. You backslid, or what's wrong with you? You in sin? How about say something encouraging? That went over big. Amen. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians. Come on, did you get something tonight? All right. We're going to look at this and maybe one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Got to get a little preaching. I'm not preaching Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, at least I don't think I am. I wasn't preaching tonight either, but here I am. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You got to be ready, right? Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Have you ever heard that scripture before? Now, let me tell you something. The devil wants to change that. He wants to change that and flip that to we walk by sight, not by faith. That is exactly why he magnifies the sight part. Amen. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I got these circumstances. Well, I already told you, everybody's got circumstances. So Satan wants to change that. What we got to do, listen, I say it like this, and I think this is a good way to say it. If you walk by sight, you're always going to be discouraged. Because most time it never looks right. But if you walk by faith, you're always going to be encouraged. Now, what do I mean by walk by faith? Well, we have to believe everything's going to work out. God's going to work it out. And you know, when you believe that, it just somehow gets worked out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Amen? Now, one last scripture. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, one last scripture. I know I went to a lot of scripture tonight, but it was necessary. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I heard a minister say one time his dad was a pastor. His dad's in heaven now, but he was a pastor. And he said, he pastored a Pentecost church, and sometimes, you know, people would shout and dance and run and whatever, you know. And his dad, he said, my dad would always make this statement. he said, my dad would say, now that's not necessary unless it's necessary, and it's necessary. All right? So there are some things that are necessary. Amen? Amen. Now, that's real deep, right? But, you know, it's not necessary unless it's necessary, and it's necessary. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 30, go there, verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Well, that would distress you, right? I mean, he's the leader, he's the pastor, and now they're talking about stoning him. Now, you know, I've had people that were disgruntled with me, but I haven't had anybody try to stone me yet. And the reason is because David's their leader. They've been, and they came back to their hometown, and it's been taken all. It's been raided, and all their wives and their children have been taken captive. And the Bible says, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But notice this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, that's what the old King James says, encouraged himself. Now, this word, encouraged himself, it means two things. It means to encourage yourself and to strengthen yourself. So you could literally, and I think the Amplified Bible says that, David encouraged and strengthened himself. Because when you encourage yourself, you strengthen yourself. Now, I wanted to say this because here's what I've learned over the years. Ultimately, you got to take the responsibility yourself for your own encouragement. You say, boy, if somebody just encouraged me. Well, we have a part. I've told you about that. We have a part as the church to build one another up. But ultimately, here's the truth. Then I've tried to encourage people along over the years many times. It doesn't do any good if they don't want to be encouraged. They got to want it. David wanted it. Are you with me now? He encouraged himself. He didn't wait for some prophet to show up. He didn't wait for a hot church service. He didn't wait for anybody. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In other words, he made the decision, I'm not going to be discouraged. And if you don't make that decision, nobody can really help you. You know, as well, maybe if God, you got a word for me, Pastor. Well, listen, that's, even if I had a word for you, you know, you got to want it. You got to want to be encouraged. And I've met people, they didn't want to be encouraged. They didn't want, you got to want to do the right things. So what do I got to do? Well, one thing, you need to stay full of God's word. Don't quit feeding on the word. The Bible says it'll build you up. Hallelujah. Another thing, don't stop praising God. You can put on a garment when you do that. Amen. Garment of praise, right? Don't stop coming to the house of God. I've been at this long enough. I see two classes of people. Those that get discouraged and they quit coming to church. And, you know, a lot of times you can't help people unless they want help, see. And then you get those that they get blessed and they stop coming to church. I've just learned I'm either the greatest preacher on the planet or I'm the worst preacher on the planet. I'm not figured it out yet, but some people, you know, I preached to them one or two times. That fixed them for life. They never did come back. You know, when they came, you know, they went, oh, man, this is good. This is rich. I love it here. Woo, I found my place. About three services later, they're gone. I was just too good. I was just too good. They just couldn't handle it, you know. I hope you know I'm teasing, right? But, you know, there's others that, you see, it's really up to the individual. How many know that? If we're going to be encouraged, yes, you know, you can say, well, I wish people do this or people do that or people do that. Well, the thing of it is people can do all kinds of right things, but you won't even notice it if you don't want to be encouraged. You got to want to. Amen. You got to want to pick yourself up. Don't wait for somebody to pick you up. Amen. You know, sometimes people, we shouldn't, but sometimes people are so busy with their own issues, they're not even thinking about you. And so you don't wait on them. Right? Well, I'm just waiting for somebody. You know, people run all over the country to get a word from a prophet, you know, and some of those prophets are not-for-profit prophets. Amen. And so even if you got a good word, it's not going to do anything unless you decide to encourage yourself with it. I mean, I've had plenty of good words, I mean, over the years, but they don't do it alone. They'll help. You can fight with them, but they'll help. But they won't do it if you don't do anything. If you don't decide you want to be lifted up or be encouraged, it's not going to help you. You'll still be discouraged. You got to do something yourself. And that's what David did. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't give up. See, to all these guys, it was over with. But to David, it's not over with yet. He asked for the ephod, which I don't have time to teach on this. I don't even know that I know all of it. But it's part of the way they inquired of God, the Urim and the Thummim that the priest had. And David inquired of the Lord and said, "Shall I go after these people?" And the Lord said, "Yeah, go get them. You'll recover it all." See, David hadn't quit. He hadn't given up. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself and said, "Well, this ain't over with. Praise God. I'm still alive. It ain't over with." Amen. You know, sometimes the devil will tell you you're getting older. Well, guess what? We all are. It's like I said, I would listen sometimes to radio when I was running, and years ago, there was a commercial on, and the commercial asked us, "Do you have any relatives that are getting older?" I thought that was the dumbest question, because there's only two kinds of relatives, those that are getting older and those that are dead. So yes, they're all getting older, all of them. Their dog's getting older. Their cat's getting older. Their house is getting older. Everything's getting older. Well, the devil will say, "You're just getting older. You're getting older." Well, let me just tell you something. Well, don't you think God knows that? He can do more in 5 years than you could do in 500 years. He can do more in 50 minutes than we could do in 500 years. Amen? So you have to want to encourage yourself. But I wanted to say this tonight. You have to see it as an attack from the outside. Don't just see it as just me, my circumstances, what's happening to me. If this wasn't happening to me in life, I know I'd be happy. Well, temporarily you might be, but that's not the fix. The fix is to recognize you're in a warfare. You're under attack, and you need to deal with it that way. Amen. Did you get something out of this? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Matter of fact, if you're going through discouragement, I'll pray for you tonight. That this breaks off of you. You want somebody to pray for you? Here we go, right now. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. And I believe God will do something for you. Father, right now I pray for anybody either here tonight or in this church tonight, anywhere in any of the rooms, or anybody that's watching this or will watch it, that's experiencing an attack of discouragement. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break Satan's authority. I break his power off of their life. And I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, they're coming out of that. Hallelujah. And that spirit of heaviness, that spirit of depression, that spirit of discouragement and gloom leaves them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. We receive that by faith. Hallelujah. And you say amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.